Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 24 on page 1028 of the Pew Bibles. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it."
Let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, we pray that you would prepare our hearts to hear your word this morning. And we pray that you would guide my words, Lord, that we would reflect on your very words in Scripture, that they might affect and change our hearts to make us more like your Son. Help us to ground the hope that we have on the certain hope we have in you, the completed work achieved by Christ on our behalf. Lord, we pray that we would ground our hope in you. Amen. Please keep your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 10. It's always good to check what the preacher's saying. So one day, a bloke was walking through a university campus. He was dressed in a really fine suit, and he was carrying some books and a briefcase. He was extremely well-dressed, very confident-looking young man. And as he went through the campus, he passed by a fast food stand. And so he decided to get something to eat and a milkshake to wash it down. After he got these things, he confidently balanced them on his briefcase as he moved his way around the courtyard to find an empty seat. But while he was looking for a table, the lure of that milkshake got the better of him. So he leant over and went to have a sip from the milkshake without looking. Trouble was that as he leant down, the straw missed his mouth and went straight up his nose. Embarrassed, but still holding on to much of his confidence, he decided that if he moved his head up quickly, the straw would stay in the drink and he'd be okay. But when he lifted up his head, the straw came out of the drink, dripped milkshake right down the front of his suit, and in that moment, all the confidence that he had evaporated. It's sometimes funny to think about the things that we find our confidence in. Back when I was in high school, like most people, I was often drawn towards things that I thought would give me confidence in a crowd. And I can remember how vividly I felt really confident as I turned up to my first school disco, wearing my new Nike Air shoes. Putting on those shoes was like an instant boost to my confidence. At the time, they were the shoes to have. And I, for once, had the shoes that everybody wanted. And it gave me joy, it gave me confidence. Because I felt as though everybody wanted to be what I was. It gave me a sense of power as I walked through the crowd. And I have to admit now, as I look back at that as an adult, it just seems so silly. They're only shoes, and well, they've long since worn out and been thrown away. But at the time, they gave me a sense of confidence, superficial as it may have been, as I walked through a crowd. In this morning's passage, the 72 that Jesus had sent out, in the passage we heard from last week, he sent out into all of the villages in the surrounding area, are returning. And as they return, their hearts are filled with joy. They had seen God do amazing things through them. They had seen him heal the sick. They had seen him cast out demons. At the mere mention of Jesus' name, their confidence was sky high after all of this success. They must have felt ready for just about anything. But sadly, their confidence and their joy was misplaced. They felt confident. They felt joyful because their mission was a success. They felt empowered because God had used them in amazing ways. But in finding so much joy in their ministry success, they had started to lose sight of their true joy, the true grounds of their confidence. And so Jesus gently reminds the 72 that it is not the gifts that God gives us or has given us that we should rejoice in. It's not the level of success we have in sharing the good news that should bring us our ultimate joy, but instead our joy, our ultimate source of confidence, must be in the wonderful news that through faith in Jesus, our names have been written in the book of life. So let's get into this morning's passage. We're looking at verses 17 to 20. And in these verses, we see the 72 that Jesus had sent out were rejoicing in the gifts that God had given them. So last week, we saw the 72 had been sent out into all the surrounding villages to prepare for Jesus' visit there. And they were sent out in pairs. They were told to rely on God for all of their needs. And their job was to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God is near. Now we see them returning. We see that their mission was successful. The 72 returned to Jesus with joy. They were happy. They were excited. They were pleased at how well everything had gone. That's not to say that they hadn't been met with all sorts of different opposition, but their joys far outweighed their troubles. And so they said to Jesus, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." They were marveling at the wonderful works, the wondrous works that God had done through them. I mentioned last week, at the very beginning of chapter 9, the 12 disciples, later to become the 12 apostles, were sent out on a very similar mission with very similar instructions. But despite the fact that they were the 12, their mission wasn't a success like the mission that the 72 were sent on. And we know this because in chapter 9, verse 40, Jesus is met with the father of a demon-possessed young child. And this man cries out to Jesus and says, "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." To which Jesus later told his disciples that they could not cast that demon out because they did not have the faith to do so. But here in chapter 10, we read that the 72, well, they'd experienced all sorts of ministry success. In fact, their success had been so great that Jesus says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Seems like a bit of a strange thing to say, doesn't it? Some commentators, including some of the earliest church fathers, suggest that Jesus was warning that the 72... warning them not to fall into the trap of pride. Satan had fallen from heaven because of pride. So the idea is that Jesus is warning them not to become proud about their success. However, whether this was Jesus' intended meaning or not, what is clear is that Jesus is declaring his victory over Satan and the demonic realm. And so Jesus goes on to say, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Now, obviously, Jesus wasn't telling the 72 to go and play with venomous snakes and scorpions because, you know, they won't sting or bite them. That won't be a problem. The imagery here of snakes and scorpions symbolizes the forces of evil, the forces that were being overcome by the power and authority of Jesus' name. He was saying Satan has no power over them when they go in Jesus' name. Then we get to verse 20. And the 72 who were filled with joy because of the marvelous things that they had seen the Lord do through them. But in their moment of triumph, Jesus says to them, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The 72 were in danger of losing sight of their real hope. Their ministry experience had given them such confidence that they're in danger of becoming so proud about what God had done through them. They're at risk of losing sight of their real source of confidence and joy. They'd started to find their joy in the gifts God had given them rather than in the hope that they have in him. So, in verses 21 to 24, Jesus reminds the 72 to rejoice in their gift of salvation. In verse 21, it says, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. It's not those who are wise in their own eyes or wise according to this world who have seen and understood and believed this good news. This good news is not dependent on our intellect or our discernment. It is revealed through the Holy Spirit as a gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says that it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. The gift of salvation, the joy of knowing that our names have been written in heaven, was given on the basis of nothing that we have done, but because it was God's good pleasure to do so. The hope that we have, salvation from our sin and shame, is a gift that Jesus earned for us. And in these verses, Jesus is rejoicing about this great hope that they have in him. Jesus then says in verse 22, all things have been committed to me by my Father. Just think about that for a minute. All authority, all power, all judgment, and all salvation. All things have been committed to Jesus by God the Father. Jesus then describes the incredibly close relationship between him and God the Father. He says, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus is saying that no one knows him like God the Father, and no one is able to know God the Father unless they know the Son. What a privilege it is to be called children of God. And then Jesus turned to the 12 and he reminded them of the blessing that they have received in having these mysteries revealed to them. He said, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And we too have been blessed in a very similar way, because these same things that the 12 had seen and heard have been revealed to us through God's word. And so this is a reminder to us as well to rejoice in the good news that our names have been written in the book of life, to rejoice in the gift of our salvation rather than in the gifts that God has given us. I was saddened recently, very, very saddened, to hear of the public disgrace of another prominent and well-known Christian leader who recently passed away. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Ravi Zacharias, but for those who aren't familiar with him, he was an incredibly gifted Christian apologist. He regularly attended debates all around the world, and his ability to break down incredibly complex ideas and arguments into a way of defending the Christian faith was nothing less than remarkable. However, since Ravi's passing, many extremely serious and very sad revelations about his personal life and his conduct have come to life. Too serious to mention this morning. He was an incredibly gifted man. No one would deny that. But sadly, it seems that the gifts that God had given him had led him into pride. And that pride had drawn his heart away from the hope that he had in the gospel, which we now see in his failure to keep living a life worthy of the gospel and his failure to love God and others. This morning's passage is a warning for us to keep our eyes on the good news of Jesus, to keep that as our source of hope, the hope of life forever in him, the joy of knowing that we are his children and that our names are written in the book of life. The gifts that we so often find our confidence in are no better than my old Nike Air shoes that have long since been thrown away. What Jesus is warning us about this morning is misplacing our pride. He's warning us not to make the gifts and experiences that God has given us our ultimate source of confidence and joy. We are not to find our confidence and joy in our own glory, but instead to find our joy in glorifying him. Because if all our confidence and our joy is in our giftedness or in the respect that we have received or in the glory we receive from our service in his name, then what happens when that is taken away? But if our hope is in the gift of salvation we have in Jesus, then whether we have the respect that we believe we deserve or not, whether our gifts are currently bringing us glory or not, our confidence and our joy remains, because it is not in anything that can be taken away. This morning we are being reminded that the source of our confidence and our joy is in the hope we have in Christ Jesus. We are being called to give all the glory for the things that God has done through us to him. We're being called to let go of our desire to hold some of the glory back for ourselves and rejoice in the fact that it is the Father's good pleasure that we should receive mercy rather than judgment. Our sin and shame has been covered by the blood of Jesus. We have hope. We have joy because of the gift of salvation through Jesus. Ephesians 1 says, You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. How wonderful it is to be God's possession, to the praise of his glory. May we rejoice in the good news that through the completed work of Christ, our names have been written in the book of life. And may our confidence and may our joy be found solely in him. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we have so often been glory stealers. We have so often wanted to steal glory that you deserve for ourselves. We so often pat ourselves on the back for the things that you have done through us. And we so often find our confidence and our joy in the good gifts you have given us, rather than in the eternal hope we have in you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to ground our hope in that which is eternal, that which is completed, that which you purchased through the blood of your one and only Son. And Lord, we pray this in his name. Amen.